This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. And we'd like to hear from you today. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails are at talk@talklouisiana.org. We were slated to start our show today with Andre Cudrescu, the longtime NPR commentator and author of prolific Realm, and for many years an English professor at LSU and the editor of The Exquisite Corpse. But Andre is with his mother, who's in hospice in New York City. And he's been on this show many times, and I'm sure we will have him on again soon. But remember the touching story about Andre and his mother? They were bought out of Romania by the Israeli government. And Andre ended up in the United States, first in Detroit, and then he's moved around. As we know, he left LSU and moved to Yellville, Arkansas, the middle of nowhere, and stayed there for several years. Said he liked it, but he's now in the Big Apple in New York City, and we'll catch up with him soon. And in a few minutes, we'll hear from Faye Williams, who's in Washington, D.C., where all hell broke loose 8 days ago, and yesterday it resulted in the second impeachment of Donald John Trump. Impeached after inciting rampage at Capitol, Trump is first president to face second Senate trial. That from the New York Times, the newspaper of record, 10 and GOP joined vote. Next step is uncertain. It appears a vote on conviction in the Senate will come after Joe Biden takes the oath of office in 6 days. In our delegation, Ralph Abraham's seat that he vacated is open because of the untimely death of Luke Letlow. But the four Republicans all voted to protect the president: Garrett Graves, Mike Johnson, Steve Scalise, and Clay Higgins. And the lone Democrat who will soon be working for Joe Biden, Cedric Richmond of New Orleans, also represents North Baton Rouge. He voted to impeach the president for a second time. And here is Congressman Richmond explaining why he voted to impeach.
Madam Speaker, I rise today in my last floor speech in this body to do what I was sworn to do on the first day, to protect and defend the Constitution. President Trump put the domestic terrorists on notice by saying, "Stand back and stand by." He then summoned them to D.C., directed them to march on the Capitol, and then he sat back and watched the insurrection. Some of my colleagues, some of which may well be co-conspirators, in their latest attempt to placate and please this unfit president, suggest that we shouldn't punish Trump for his actions in order to unify the country. That is the climax of foolishness.
And here is Steve Scalise, one of the ranking Republicans in the United States House of Representatives, speaking in favor of the president. And mind you, the guy who's the number one fellow in the House now for Republicans, Kevin McCarthy of California, conceded in a pained speech on the floor that Donald Trump had been to blame for the assault on the Capitol, which forced the vice president and lawmakers who'd gathered to formalize Biden's victory to flee for their lives in a deadly rampage. Here's the quote from Kevin McCarthy: "The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding." And, of course, the president did not. But through the years, Steve Scalise has been one of Donald Trump's most ardent supporters. And here he is once again going to the mat for the 45th American president.
Our nation still mourns the unacceptable violence and anarchy that took place in this Capitol last week. As we speak, arrests are still being made, and the anarchists who stormed our Capitol are being brought to justice, as should be the case. Emotions are still high, but in this moment, we need to be focused on toning down the rhetoric and helping heal this nation as we move towards a peaceful transition of power to President-elect Joe Biden next week. My prayers, Madam Speaker, are still with Capitol Police Officer Sieknick and Liebengood, who we lost, as well as all of the Capitol police officers who risked their lives to keep us safe.
Steve Scalise, who voted no, as did Garrett Graves, as did Mike Johnson, as did Clay Higgins. The vote was 232 to 197. 10 Republicans joined all the Democrats, all 222 of them in the House, to vote to impeach the president, and 4 Republicans sat it out. 877-217-5757. We're joined from the Beltway by Faye Williams, who was watching outside her window as the world changed 8 days ago. And before we get to the event since then, how was it on that day, Dr. Williams?
Well, good morning, Jim. Good morning to your listeners. I happen to have an office on the second floor on the same street with Fort McNair's military base, and I continue to see these armored cars and police cars racing down toward the military base, and of course turned on the television and saw what was going on at the Capitol, so I knew what was happening. They were taking certain people to safety because it certainly wasn't safe that day to be in the United States Capitol.
Well, it was a day like no other, and we've heard that before, and often it's exaggeration, but this was true, and it's quite possible that Speaker Pelosi and Vice President Pence were minutes away from being assassinated.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you see Pence is still loyal to the president, even though the president did not call to find out what was happening with mm-hmm. him or send someone in to rescue him and didn't speak with him for days. So much for loyalty to this president.
Well, and the president is quoted in the New York Times, and they actually printed the word. He said, "But Mike, you've got a chance to be a patriot," or another word that starts with a P.
Mm-hmm.
And Pence, you're right, he remains loyal to the president right to the bitter end. And perhaps it's because he knows that the Republican base is solidly in the corner of the president, even to the bitter end. 55% mm-hmm. of the American people are supportive of impeachment, but 53%, a little over 53% of the people, voted for somebody other than Donald Trump on Election Day. So it pretty much mirrors the country. We have a divided nation, and it will make it a challenge for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to govern. But how do you see that as far as them taking office, not necessarily with a clean slate? This is still mm-hmm. hanging out there, and it's something that could be an issue as far as clouding up the agenda. What do you think, Faye?
Well, actually, you know, Barack Obama didn't actually get off to a good start. There were Republicans who were meeting the same night of his inauguration talking about how they would work to make him fail. Now, this, of course, is more serious in fact that we've now lost lives. We've had to put 20,000 soldiers out there to guard just the Capitol. That leaves the rest of us in Washington, D.C., vulnerable for people who come in and are looking to riot, as the people did last week. I think, however, there are many people, even silently some Republicans, who are hoping to help Joe Biden get off to a good start. I'm very pleased with the Lincoln Group, who has been putting out many commercials, just as they did during the election, which I think were helpful to the election of Mr. Biden. I think they will continue. These are Republicans or former Republicans who are not very happy with what was going on with Donald Trump. And I think there'll be at least some Republicans, like the 10 on yesterday, who really want this country, love this country, and want this country to work for the benefit of all people. So I think we'll have some supporters, maybe quietly, but from the other side this time, unlike Barack had when he was elected.
As far as the conviction possibility in the Senate, it will take, if everybody shows up to vote, it'll take 17 Republicans. I am told
yes.
that it's two-thirds of members present, so some mm-hmm. Republicans could just walk out of the room, and that would change the math. But mm-hmm. right now, if all 100 senators are there, it's 67 needed to convict, meaning that it will take 17 votes. Is that such a heavy lift that it's going to be impossible to do? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if they can move to have a vote, you know, a secret ballot or what have you, it could happen. Without the secret ballot, I'm not sure that there are 17 courageous Republicans. I mean, we'll have the usual people. I mean, Mitt Romney will no doubt take away one, so that'll leave 16.
Well, and Murkowski of Alaska says she'll vote that way.
Yes, 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 of course. So then that takes away another one. But the rest of it, I don't think that McConnell will have as much you know, force over them as he has had while he was speaker, because by the time they get to that, Chuck Schumer will be the speaker. Now, a lot of it will depend on the approach of Chuck Schumer. If he takes the same kind of approach that Biden is taking, and that is not blasting everybody every day, then it's possible.
All right, 877-217-5757. Let's go to David in St. Francisville. David, you're on with Dr. Fay Williams. Hi, David.
Good morning. In looking at this thing, what bothers me is that our representatives are so short-sighted that they're not looking down the road. They should be representing us in Louisiana. And when we get to a point where the president, the Senate, the House are all controlled by Democrats, for them to spit in the face of the president was just not a good idea to do.
Okay, hold on, and we'll get more from David in St. Francisville, and we'll spend another few minutes with Dr. E. Fay Williams after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number, 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Fay Williams, joining us from Washington, former Louisiana Politico, almost elected to the Louisiana House in one of the closest races. We're talking about congressional seats in Louisiana history in 1986. And she, of course, has followed American politics for a few decades now, and she is right outside her window. She was able to see the commotion, and commotion is putting it kindly, what happened a week ago and one day ago at the U.S. Capitol. The journalism sparked by President Trump has been remarkable. With all the talk about fake news, there are people like Peter Baker of the New York Times. Today, his front page story reads, "Armed soldiers in the halls and anger in the air." Not since the dark days of the Civil War and its aftermath has Washington seen a day like Wednesday. In a Capitol bristling and heavily armed soldiers and newly installed metal detectors, with the physical wreckage of last week's siege cleaned up, but the emotional and political wreckage still on display, the president of the United States was impeached for trying to topple American democracy. Somehow, it felt like the preordained coda of a presidency that repeatedly pressed all limits and frayed the bonds of the body politic. With less than a week to go, President Trump's term is climaxing in a spasm of violence and recrimination at a time when the country is fractured deeply and has lost a sense of itself. Notions of truth and reality have been atomized. Faith in the system has eroded. Anger is the one common ground. And Baker notes that this happened on a day in which 4,400 American citizens died of coronavirus. David, in St. Francisville, when you went to the break, you were making a comment saying this was spitting in the eye of the president. Are we talking about the current president or the future president?
The future president.
Of Joe Biden.
Because, you know, once we get beyond all of this impeachment stuff, then it's back to business. And our representatives, their job is to bring home the bacon for Louisiana. And so we have a Democrat president, a Democrat Speaker of the House, a Democrat majority leader, and these five guys stand up there and spit in their face. So how much of a response are they going to get when they go to Washington and say, I have a problem?
All right. Fay Williams, go ahead. I'm sorry.
David, thank you for that point. I'm very proud of Cedric Richmond from New Orleans, who has become or will be very close to the president, and certainly he's going to be interested in helping Louisiana. Now, that is not to say he doesn't need some help, because I'm thoroughly embarrassed with Congressman Scalise and Senator Kennedy. Every day it seems that they're working against Louisiana here in Washington. But fortunately, as I said, they'll have Cedric Richmond there to help. And, of course, Louisiana will need help from the Democrats. So we could look at some of the congressional seats, and just like Georgia turned blue, I won't say that Louisiana will do that, but certainly some of its congressional districts might be able to do that if the citizens there really want some help from Louisiana, which it needs. Louisiana is my home state. So, of course, I'm pulling for that to happen.
Patrick in Ennis-Walda Estates. Patrick, you're on with Dr. Williams.
Hey, just a couple of things to note. Donald Trump never condoned violence. He never promoted it. He simply told the protesters to go protest at the Capitol.
All right, here's Donald Trump in 2016. You say he never condoned violence. Here's when he was campaigning for president.
I love the old days. You know what they used to do to guys like that when they were in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks. That's true. You know, I love our police, and I really respect our police.
All right. Well, that was Trump saying that hecklers should be beaten up. A man who never condoned violence. Of course, he would not condone any violence involving himself because he would be incapable of defending himself in most cases.
And he didn't call off the violence last Wednesday.
He did not. In fact, after the violence, he said he loved them.
Absolutely.
And they were special. 877-217-5757. Tim and Thibodeau. Tim, good morning. You're on with Faye. Hi, Tim.
Thank you. I think that this could all be solved by Allison Sweeney and her previous show, The Big Loser, because Donald Trump, who supposedly is allergic to losing, could be the biggest literal winner of The Big Loser.
Well, he's already a big winner, sir. He is getting his wish. He likes to be number one. He likes to win. So he's winning that spot of being the only president to be impeached two times.
Well, and he lost his PGA tournament, too. So,
and he's losing a lot of other contracts in New York.
So he's got some business issues that he has to deal with, and he will probably have some legal issues as well, independent of impeachment and conviction. David in Atlanta, you're on with Dr. Williams. Good morning, David.
Good morning to all. Donald Trump did condone violence when he didn't take immediate action when the Capitol was under siege, and when he said he loved and he was proud of the murderous people, the hooligans who attacked our nation's capital as if it were another Pearl Harbor attack. And Trump said, if he's not elected, the stock market's going to crash. Well, I've been leveraged out on triple leveraged funds, margin to the hilt, and the closer we get to the day Trump leaves, the more money I'm making.
All right. Well, good for you, David, in Atlanta. And the market, unbelievably, has reacted with a yawn to all of this. The Dow's up 140 points today. The NASDAQ is ahead 71 points, and the market has done well under President Trump. It's at 31,200 is the Dow. That's still way below the pace of Biden and about Biden and Obama being the president. But amid all this, come next Wednesday, there will be a historic day when Kamala Harris takes the oath of office as the vice president of the United States, Faye Williams. And amid all this other noise that's circulating, that is an event that should be celebrated. It is a big statement in a positive way, independent of her politics, that this person of color could end up being a heartbeat away from the presidency.
I guess my first statement, Jim, would be it's about time. Black women have worked so hard in all of the elections recently to improve and to, you know, to be recognized for the things that we do. And I just can't help but think of and honor Stacey Abrams down in Georgia, who turned Georgia blue, which went a long way to help Kamala become a vice president. I worked with a group called Black Women for Biden Harris. We worked every day in an effort to get both of them. We were working for both of them, not just for Biden, but for Kamala and Joe. So I'm very proud of the results right now.
Skipper in Gonzales. Skipper, you're on with Dr. Williams. Hi, Skipper.
Yes. The insurrection is what they keep calling it at the Capitol. It was more of a riot that got started from a protest. And Donald Trump's right to say what he believed in his heart, which personally I think is wrong. I don't think the election was stolen. But if he believes it, are we going to take away his right to say that to the American public?
All right. Well, he was urging people to fight. And some people took him literally. All this talk about his supporters taking him seriously and not literally, well, they definitely took him literally last week. And I can't believe that he really believes the election was stolen. This is not a close election. It's not nearly as close as 7 or 8 other elections in my lifetime for president. So, Faye Williams, it is beyond comprehension that the man would talk about a stolen election. obviously he is just trying to fan the flames, and he didn't want to leave.
Absolutely, and he does not have a right to call out rioters to tell them to march down to the Capitol. He would meet them there, and to do this with some strength or not in a kind way. They knew exactly what they were doing, so he was encouraging, inciting that rioting that was going on.
All right, final caller for Faye Williams, William in Opelousas. Please be brief, William. You're on with Dr. Williams.
Hey, how you doing, Jim and Dr. Williams? Jim Patrick said that he didn't promote violence, but he told his supporters to go to the Capitol and fight like hell, or they wouldn't have a country. Thank you for taking my time.
He did do that. He did do that, and
I guess he meant they had to tear it down before they could have the country they want.
And there is an investigation ongoing about the Capitol being scoped out the day before. And so there may have been some activity involving people in high places.
That's true. And then there's the criminal acts going on now by some of the Republicans refusing to go through the metal detector test, which is meant to, handle and to care for those who are in there and make them safe, and then refusing to wear masks, giving the coronavirus to several members of Congress.
All right, we got to roll, but thank you, Faye. Back after the news.